I'm a Beverly Emerson, a professor at the Salk Institute, and I study transcriptional regulation, gene regulation and chromatin structure and epigenetics.
What is the excitement of epigenetics for you?
The excitement is that states of cellular programming, to me, transcription, gene regulation, are reversible. And so that means you can go from a normal cell to a cancer cell and back, or you can go from a stem cell to a differentiated cell and presumably back. So it's all reversible. They're all enzymatic processes, and we can hopefully manipulate these enzymatic processes. They're enzymatic and they're targeted. So you can take an enzyme and target them to specific genes and cause an event to happen at those genes or block that targeting. So it's the reversibility.
And this is all pre-cancer?
Yes, the excitement is in pre-cancers, early cancers, because by the time you have a full-blown cancer, you've got a genetic mess and it's best for the cell just to die.
And is it true that most pre-cancers would never actually turn into cancer? There's a bit of coming and going?
I would say all of us are riddled with pre-cancers, but we have lots of protective mechanisms that prevent them from developing into full-blown malignancies. And so that's why one's balance is very important.
And your lecture was related to stress and cancer cells.
That's right. That's right. So there were three fundamental points of my talk. The first was, how are genes aberrantly silent? So this is a very common feature in almost all cancers, where tumor suppressor genes are just turned off, and it's associated with DNA methylation. Suddenly they become methylated and they're no longer expressed. And so this has been known for a long time, and we wanted to understand the mechanism of it. And the mechanism turns out to be very simple. All of these structural changes take place in the gene, which silences the gene, due to the fact that the neighborhood of the gene has changed because the borders surrounding the gene have been lifted. So you lose your fence posts, and that means that the neighborhood around your genes, which are usually bad neighborhoods, meaning condensed chromatin, just spread right through. So the condensation spreads through, condenses the formerly active gene, and silences it. It's very simple.
And that's bad news.
That is bad news. And so you lose your fences, the borders, if you will, because you lose the binding of a protein. You lose the binding of the protein not because anything is wrong with the protein. It's not mutated or anything. It's still working on its other target genes in the cell. But it no longer functions as a boundary because it's lost a certain post-translational modification. And so now we're trying to determine, called ADP ribosylation. That's the modification. It's a chemical modification of the protein that allows it to act as a fence post.
So that's how cancer might progress?
That's how it might initiate. So a very early event in genomic instability leading to a pre-cancer is the loss, the specific loss of certain tumor suppressor genes, their functions.
Now, can anything be done to actually reverse that process?
Well, currently people use DNA demethylating agents. So they reason that, okay, the gene is turned off because it's methylated, so I'll use this compound that removes DNA methylation. That does reactivate silenced genes. The problem is it demethylates everything else in your genome, and that's not good. And even though it has reactivated the silenced gene, it will be remethylated because nothing has fixed the primary problem, which is the loss of the fence allowing the bad neighborhood in. So what we want to do is define why the fence post has lost this modification and then try to screen for compounds that will restore the modification. I'm sure it's due to a signaling event, some problem in a signaling pathway. And if we can restore the function to the protein, it's called CTCF, then we can possibly rebuild the fence so that then when you demethylate, if you have to, maybe you don't have to, then that will result in a stable reactivation of silenced genes.
And is this one of the main initiators of cancer?
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I will say that it's an extremely common phenomenon, epigenetic silencing, and that's the reason why epigenetics, you hear that word so much, that's why it's important in cancer. It's based on changes in DNA methylation patterns. And then later it has incorporated changes in histone modification patterns. That's what epigenetics is.
Okay, so you're picking up some ideas about what's going on and how to possibly change things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think eventually that the work you're doing will have some clinical significance?
I really hope so, because I think that especially if you can reverse precancers, that's a much easier thing to do than killing cancer cells. We actually work at both ends of the spectrum. So the precancer to us means the epigenetic silencing of these tumor suppressor genes, which is due to the loss of the fence post. The other end of the spectrum is our work with P53, and there you want to restore P53 function because you want to actually kill. If you've got a full-blown tumor cell, you want to kill it. If you've got a precancerous cell, you want to erase this aberrant epigenetic phenomenon.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to mention?
Only that one part of my talk dealt with the fact that you could kill RNA polymerase, which is the enzyme that reads all of your genes, that you can poison it, and that causes apoptosis. But interestingly, P53-regulated genes are still on, so they are immune to being inactivated by stomping on the major enzyme that reads genes. And so we were interested in understanding how are these genes on when you've just killed the engine. And in fact, you can still use the engine, but now the engine doesn't need the same cofactors as or machinery that it did need for the vast majority of cellular genes. So it tells us that there is a stealth enzymatic pathway in cancer cells that can be utilized by genes under extreme duress. And so while this is good for the P53 pathway, because that's what protects us, it can also be used by pro-metastatic genes. And so that would be something that one might target.
That is very intriguing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.